Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Global from Asia. And today we're bringing back Chris Gormley, who is here on the show with us back in episode 9, talking on B2B global businesses and fundraising in Singapore. So he's also been a great reference point for me and a lot of others when getting credit cards over in Hong Kong. So while he thinks that this interview is a little bit dry, talking about interest rates, accounting, grace periods, and bank statements, I believe it's extremely eye-opening for anybody trying to do business overseas, and I kind of really wish that this stuff existed when I was first doing it. I do have one, actually two credit cards now in Hong Kong in two different companies, and I've had up to three. I've learned the hard way, so hopefully this show will help you guys avoid some of the mistakes Chris and I and others have made. And, you know, I think in the show, a lot of times we've been talking about receiving money into Hong Kong, but we haven't really talked about expenses. So, while by having a credit card in the U.S. is kind of easy and lots of points, having one in Hong Kong helps you centralize all of your expenses in one company so that you can have your income and your outcome in the same entity and, you know, make it a little bit easier. We'll talk about that more on the show. But this has also been a very requested show. A lot of people always asking me, how do I get a Hong Kong-based credit card? And then during the interview, you'll notice that some of the questions came up that Chris or I didn't really know. So actually, I just got back from Hong Kong today, and I kind of went through the to-do list, and I'll answer some of those questions at the end of the interview with Chris that answer those questions that we brought up. All right, so tune in now. We have Chris back here, another episode here. Thanks for coming on the show again, Chris.
Yep.
And today is actually a heavily requested topic from a lot of our friends and listeners about, you know, I think one of the hardest things about doing business overseas is, you know, people still, especially Americans, have like American-based credit cards, and it's really hard to balance like cash flow and business when you have U.S. credit cards and your operations maybe are in Asia. So we're going to talk about credit cards with a Hong Kong company or a location. So, you know, and we both actually, I also have a Hong Kong credit card. How many do you use now, or how many do you have?
I have three credit cards through my company in Hong Kong. One in RMB that I use in China, so I can allocate my Chinese expenses to it. I got a Hong Kong one that I'd use for, you know, like stuff that's associated with that account that's in Hong Kong dollars. And then another one that I get better frequent flyer miles on.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So, actually, they're all in your business?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
All in my business name.
Yeah, so I think that's something we both noticed. Like, actually, I had a U.S. dollar denomination credit card in Hong Kong, but I had to have a deposit. So maybe we'll just start off with, like, how it works. So I think it works the same as in America with the Visa logo. You have Visa or MasterCard, or are they both?
One Visa, one MasterCard, one UnionPay. UnionPay is like the Chinese equivalent of Visa.
Okay. And then you use that. So you use a UnionPay in China and you use your Visa or MasterCard?
Most of the time. UnionPay one, you can have denominated in RMB. So that way you don't have to pay an exchange fee, at least directly, when you're paying for transactions in China.
Yeah. So I think like this might go over the head of some of our listeners already. So UnionPay, you probably won't see. I think they're starting to be in America now. But for the most part, you only see UnionPay inside of China. So it's kind of like the Visa, MasterCard, or American Express of China. So Chris uses that to buy things in China with a credit card. So most stores in China don't accept a Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, or Discover. They only accept UnionPay. On the show, we're just going to focus on Visa, MasterCard for U.S. or outside of China buying or use. And I think most of our listeners are curious more about using a credit card outside out of China. So when did you first, you know, maybe you can talk about your first time you did it or your first credit card. You needed to go to you have all with HSBC?
All with HSBC. I had a banking history with HSBC through my company, and I went in one day to do some normal banking, and I saw a flyer for a credit card, and then I asked my banker, hey, how can I get one of these?
Cool.
Yeah.
And you are a local Hong Kong company?
A Hong Kong company. And then I actually have a Hong Kong address, so that probably helps for, you know, developing credit and whatever else within the country. Also, like, proof of address and those things, it just becomes a lot easier.
Okay. So when you first applied, do you remember what you had to give?
It's basic information that you would have to give for any credit card anywhere, I believe. Your address, your company name, and your basic information, you know. I pretty much did it.
Okay. And then the address has to be a Hong Kong address.
All right. So the address doesn't have to be, for the company, it doesn't have to be a Hong Kong address. Although, I think they'll make it a lot easier on you if it's a Hong Kong address. They'll charge a deposit for a lot of people that have no credit history. So maybe they'll give you, let's say, a $10,000 credit limit. And they'll make you put $10,000 down as a deposit in order to get that credit limit. And then maybe 6 months later, they'll take that off and give you the money back, or maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I had one of those and I closed that. That was my personal name with US dollar denomination. So also for the cash flow, I finally just kind of put it as expense in my business. But if I use it, if I buy US dollars with a Hong Kong credit card, right now it's in Hong Kong dollars. So I kind of lose the exchange rate from when I buy something in US dollars, it goes to Hong Kong dollars on my credit card statement. And then when I pay it, I have to pay it in Hong Kong dollars again. So actually, I exchange twice. Is that out?
You get hit with a double exchange rate fee. Unless your customers pay you in Hong Kong dollars, you happen to have a bunch, you have to pay the card back in Hong Kong dollars. They do have an option, or at least HSBC has an option for a US dollar company card, but it's only for companies that do, it's like something over 20 million US dollars a year. Mm-hmm. And they call it, it's a charge card. It's not a credit card, so the rules are a little different also.
Okay, maybe. I know we might have some ballers listening, but I think most of us are not at a $20 million mark. And it, maybe if you are, you can fly to Hong Kong and let us know what you find out. Let's focus on the normal credit cards. So yeah, so I just so people understand, when you get this Hong Kong dollar card and you go to like either a store or you buy something online in, say, US dollars or euros or anywhere, any other non-Hong Kong dollar currency, you can make that transaction, but you're going to get it settled into Hong Kong dollars on your credit card statement. So when you log in online or you get your statement in the mail, it will be in, it'll show the foreign currency amount, but then it will say the local Hong Kong dollar amount right in the second column.
Yeah. Yeah. To show like you spent $300 on a plane ticket somewhere, and then that equates to like 2000 Hong Kong or whatever the exchange rate would be.
Yep. And I never actually did the math, but I think it's about a 2.5%.
I believe they say 3% off of what they consider the daily rate to be.
Yeah. So now for listeners, so say you spent $300 US and then it would convert to about 2000 something Hong Kong. And then there'll probably be about a 3% differences in the exchange rate. You're losing or paying that extra 3%. And then we said double rate because, right, then you, unless you have Hong Kong dollars already in your business account, you're going to have to pay them in Hong Kong dollars. So say you have 300 US dollars in your bank account at HSBC, you're going to have to convert that to about the 2000 something Hong Kong dollars to pay back your credit card. So that 300 on both sides just got exchanged about 3% on both sides. So it's actually about a 6% exchange rate fee that probably you're going to be paying. Okay, so, you know, we're talking about like this foreign exchange rates and maybe about a 6% loss maybe when you calculate all numbers. So why would we do this? Why would we want to keep this Hong Kong dollar credit card? I mean, Chris, I have my reason. Maybe you want to give your reason.
I think the biggest one for me would be just accounting. When you're traveling around the world and or China or wherever else, be able to keep track of every single receipt for every transaction, for everything you spend. That has a cost also. You have to pay a bookkeeper money to do that. They have to understand how to allocate it. And credit cards make that a lot easier.
I kind of agree. I think actually it's been a slow transition for me too to move most of my business to Hong Kong. And I was kind of resisting using the credit card even though I had it, because I didn't want to lose this exchange. But when you really break it down and think about it, you have to maintain maybe a U.S. credit card and a U.S. bank account. One is either you keep a personal credit card in America, or you have a U.S. company with U.S. company credit card, but then you're still got to juggle different, you know, bank accounts and make sure you have money to pay the bills in this company. You got to pay accounting in that company. You got to pay Hong Kong. So actually, I'm very close to almost all of my business in through Hong Kong, which, you know, I think is worth that exchange rate loss, right?
And Yeah. I mean, there are some benefits with it. HSBC's Platinum Business Card, they give you like free China medical assist, which is something like travel insurance. If you have any issues, they'll like you give them the card. The people have to treat you, you know, whether you can prove you have health insurance or not. And I believe it even pays for most of the medical expenses in China. Airline lounge passes. So there's maybe 30 different lounges around the world. including three at the Hong Kong airport, that if you have a flight coming or going, you can stop and you can get like a free beer and a meal and, you know, a place to hang out for a little bit. What else? Frequent flyer miles. They do have a conversion rate that works through Asia miles. It's something similar to get in the US, maybe like one US dollar, you get 1 mile, which you can use for, you know, whatever else that you want to convert that to.
Cool. Yeah. So those are benefits. And we kind of touched on it at the beginning, but these are all for business credit cards.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely all business credit cards.
I think in the show notes, we can probably link to these HSBC credit cards. Do you have experience in like, I think there's Standard Charter. Some of my friends I've talked to have Standard Charter.
Yeah. So
I think it's a little bit easier, actually. I think HSBC is a little bit more difficult if you don't have a long history.
I've been told, and I don't have experience with this myself, that if you go, not necessarily with Standard Charter HSBC, but a local bank like Wing Lung Bank or one of these local Hong Kong companies, that they extend credit terms, not just for credit cards, but loans or whatever else, a lot easier. You know, maybe they want you to show some banking history. You can probably show your banking history from HSBC and see if they'll accept that. I know the local guys, they also prefer you to have a local address, you know, to show also. You know, ultimately, the liability of the company is going to go on the directors, so they'll make you sign a paper saying that if your company defaults, that you're going to be responsible for the debt personally, and for sure the smaller banks in Hong Kong are going to want you to show that also.
Yeah, but I think also as a non-Hong Kong local person, we're a higher risk unless we're a local Hong Kong person. So I know I had my personal story from my first and only current Hong Kong dollar credit card for my company. I had to apply 4 times. I got declined 3 times. I don't want to use her name on the show, but I got to know one of the HSBC customer service, and she kept calling the back office because I kept getting declined. And I think they just didn't trust a non-Hong Kong local person because we could technically run up a huge credit card and just never come back to Hong Kong, right? I mean, I think that's... So a lot of people listening today, I know, have been frustrated trying to get a Hong Kong credit card. Maybe they've been declined. But I think on the other side is, you know, the banks do have a risk. I think to step it back, you know, think about America. America is obviously a massive country, and a lot of Americans never leave America. So obviously, if they get bad credit in America, unless they're going to leave the U.S. and build a credit history somewhere else. But Hong Kong is a very small place, and a lot of people don't live there. So I think for listeners, just to understand the reason why it might be a little bit of a stumbling block at the beginning is you don't have a credit history. Actually, I have to say, I do have 2 credit cards. I opened one for Social Agent recently, and that's a newer company. So the only thing I could get was 10,000 Hong Kong dollar credit line.
Nothing.
And I had to put 10,000. I had to put 10,000 Hong Kong dollars deposit.
Yeah.
So it's basically the reason I did it was just to keep accounting clear, because I didn't want to use my other company, which is Shadstone. I didn't want to use that company for my new startup for the accounting mess, because then I have to say this transaction is for this company, that transaction is for that company. So I just did it. So I think listeners can probably open up a brand new HSBC account, almost like what I did, with no history in that company, and get a credit card with 10,000 Hong Kong dollar for 10,000 Hong Kong dollar deposit, which maybe sounds crazy to do, but you'll start to build credit history, and you'll also be able to keep all your cash flow, your income, and your expenses in that company. So that's why I would do it.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how Hong Kong measures credit. They don't use the same systems that they use in the U.S., Experian and the other two guys, who I don't know who they are. There's no relevance in Hong Kong to your passport number. Yeah. That has to do with your social security number. So if you have bad credit anywhere in the world, it's not really going to be reflected in Hong Kong unless you have that credit with HSBC directly.
Yep. Because actually, I have really good credit in the U.S. I think I'm almost at an 800 score with Experian. There's those 3 bureaus for those listening. And that means nothing whether you're bankrupt or whether you're like perfect credit. When you apply in Hong Kong or other countries, you know, there's not really a way to use that for your advantage or your disadvantage. You're kind of like a clean slate in Hong Kong. And yeah, like, I don't think Chris or I know. Honestly, I tried to get HSBC interview. They didn't seem to care. They didn't really care. I told them we had listeners interested, and they said their PR department wouldn't approve it. I guess, you know, they're very conservative. So they get enough business anyway, right? They don't need,
Yeah, they do.
We honestly don't know how they calculate in Hong Kong. I don't think there even is any credit bureau. There must be, right? There must be some kind of credit history.
Yeah, I reckon the banks have their own internal systems that they use.
Yeah, probably blacklists and stuff. So, yearly fee. Does your card? I have one. Do you?
I believe all of my cards have a yearly fee. It's something like $200, which they will automatically waive if you ask them to. So they'll charge it to your card, and then you have to call up and say, hey, can you just give me the money back? And they'll say, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, actually, I think you just reminded me I should talk to them about that. I remember I complained the first one or two times, and I remember them just not being difficult. I think I met them in person, and they waived it, but I don't know, maybe it would still work, but I've had it for so many years, and I remember I see it, like, post, you'll see it automatically hit, like, yearly annual fee on your statement.
I think if you actually use the card, and there's turnover through it, then they'll waive it. If you don't use it, then you're just getting free airline passes, and, you know, free China medical insurance, and whatever else they give you, then, you know, they're not going to be so happy about that.
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna see. I think it was around December, so it's been a couple of months, and I think I might not be able to get that credit back, but maybe after the show, I'll keep people updated. So I think one thing a lot of people need, a lot of listeners have Hong Kong companies, and they're like in the Philippines or China or in, you know, in Thailand, and they don't have a Hong Kong address. Maybe they have something with their serviced office, but they don't have maybe a residential address. What do you think? What do you recommend, or what are your thoughts?
All right, so there's a couple ways to the address. One is you just have it sent to wherever your Hong Kong company is registered, which if you're an outside Hong Kong person and you're running an overseas company, it'd be something like your registered mailing address for your company, like wherever, and then your registered service picks up your bill and scans it and sends it to you, or, you know, whatever system you use. So then you also have to give an address for your personal address. So like whoever the directors of the company are, they want to see an address. If you're, you know, living in Australia or in, you know, Bali or wherever else, you give that address, then, you know, they're going to be less likely to extend you credit. If your personal residence address is a Hong Kong address, they trust Hong Kong people.
Yeah.
You don't have to prove that you're a Hong Kong citizen or an ID card holder. You have to prove that you have a residence in Hong Kong. And there's several ways to do that. One way is you can show your lease. You can show, you know, like electric bills or gas bills, like these normal things. Another way is that if you open up a personal account at HSBC and then you transfer your overseas address to a local address. So you find an address through whatever service or person that you know that you can do that. You have your personal mail sent there, and then you can convert that to your Hong Kong residence address.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think people might have to, I'll probably rewind that too and listen a couple times. It sounds kind of complicated. I think that the way I remember working was luckily I had a friend in Hong Kong, but this is probably 2008, 2009, and he let me use his address. So some listeners might be thinking, well, why can't I just use my current serviced office address and just put my name and not the company? I don't know if Chris answered that, but I think that doesn't work because they know what commercial addresses are and they know what residential addresses are, and they are seem a little bit tight about credit cards. I think in my experience, I've gotten declined a couple of times. And
yeah.
So you can't use like your serviced office address. They know it's an office. They know it's not a residential. So you have to have a residential address for your personal address in your HSBC account, right?
So I was never declined for mine. They gave me a platinum card without me even asking for it. They just gave it to me. I did do, you know, turnover through my company. So I was doing some business, and I did have a residential address that was at a nice area of the city. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but, you know, it's possible.
Maybe some listeners get some feedback too, but when I did it, they asked me about my income. They look at my turnover. I maybe don't have as much turnover as you. So, or maybe as long of a history, but they were looking at address, and then I remember I got declined because I used my company address, and then the girl was helping me, you know, the customer service, because I was doing it in person. Mm-hmm. I was applying in person. Actually, that's another question. Do you have to apply? Can you apply online, or you have to apply in person?
You can absolutely apply online, and then you sign a form, and then it goes to some office where the people in there look at the numbers and decide yes or no.
Mm.
You have to sign a form and then mail it in, I believe. I don't think you need fax. I think you have to mail it in. Then they take 4 to 5 days to give you a decision, yes or no. But actually, I did the same, and that probably really helps. It really helps to go in and talk to a person in their system, because they'll call on your behalf to the credit card, you know, deciders of HSBC. Mm-hmm. Do you get this, yes or no? And then, you know, that probably helps a lot.
I think they were even difficult with me this last time, because I just got that credit card for Social Agent in last year, like 4 or 5, 6 months ago. It seemed like they even had to wait to approve me, even though I was doing a cash secured $10,000. It wasn't like immediate. I had to like wait.
Maybe they're tough. Well, HSBC and all Hong Kong banks, or all banks around the world, are definitely tougher on U.S. citizens now.
Mm.
So it could be part of it.
That you know, it could be another reason.
Yeah.
So I hope this episode's being helpful for people. You know, I think it depends on which kind of program, your turnover, your history, but most likely if you're a new company, I would probably assume you're going to have to put some kind of a cash secure down, I think. And then maybe residential address, you might have to get a little bit creative to have a local Hong Kong address that's not a company, your serviced office. You know, maybe try to find somebody you know or something that's more residential and a look. So paying the credit card, I think, is just like a normal credit card. You need to have Hong Kong dollars. You probably use AutoPay. Or do you do it manually?
No, I go online and I transfer money to credit card account.
And this is where I've made mistakes a lot, so I guess he's like, I have more problems with this. I thought AutoPay, you can apply for AutoPay, and then if it has the money in the account, it'll take it. This is when I learned the hard way. I had only US dollars. I don't usually keep Hong Kong dollars in my account. And then also there's checking and there's savings for Hong Kong dollar. So AutoPay, when I set it up, it takes it from Hong Kong dollar savings, not checking. So I like to have AutoPay because I don't want to remember. I think my cycle's once on the 5th of each month for my social agent card, and the other's on 23rd of each month for my Shadstone card.
I've never figured that out, man. Like,
yeah,
like they change the date each month. You have to have the exact amount. If you're off by like 20 cents and they try to draft the money, they don't take it out and they charge you a late fee. I do it manually. It's not even worth me thinking about to not do it that way.
I just make sure I have a reminder in my Google Calendar that's like, pay credit card or make sure there's enough money and then I'll just move it. But yeah, they don't really waive the finance charge. There's like a late fee and a finance charge. I think I can get the late fee credited sometimes. But yeah, so listeners, you know, you gotta make sure you have not, even if you have $1 million in your account, if you have like a 5,000 Hong Kong dollar bill, which is like less than 1,000 US, it's not, they don't automatically take US dollar and convert it to Hong Kong dollar to pay it. You gotta have Hong Kong dollar savings in your account at the time that they debit it on auto pay. So when you pay it, you gotta convert it. You can do it online through their, you know, online system, but you gotta take your US dollar or your euro or whatever currencies you have and convert that to Hong Kong dollar to pay your credit card. And yeah, you know, you have the grace period. I think it's like a month, right? You have like, or 15 days from the statement date to pay.
I think I have 55 days interest free, and then if you don't pay it on the time, there's like a 33% interest rate. So interest is huge.
Wow.
Huge. And there's also another one that's like 28 days, and then it's 33% APR. So you definitely want to pay your credit cards on time. You know, the interest isn't worthwhile.
I know a lot of bootstrappers out there think about, you know, financing your business on credit cards. Well, don't do it on Hong Kong. Hong Kong is not as cool as US with like 0% down, zero annual fee. Like I kind of missed that in the US. Actually, I don't even think America has that much nowadays. As they used to be like, no interest for a year, like credit cards. You know, don't think you're going to get something like that in Hong Kong. You know, again, like we said earlier on the show, like the reason you're getting it is to kind of centralize your business all in Hong Kong so you can have your income and your expenses in Hong Kong rather than having to like use a US dollar credit card. That's the reason. You're not doing this to get 0% interest. You know, I thought it was like a month. So also back to paying credit cards. Sometimes, like I guess Chris just goes in and just pays it every month ahead of time. But auto pay kind of hits it right on the exact date. But if you forget to have the Hong Kong dollars in there for it to debit, they won't do it automatically from US and you'll get hit with some pretty big fees. So, you know, figure out your own system and ask your HSBC or your Hong Kong credit card company what day is your cycle date and make sure you have enough money there.
Yeah, and you have to pay, if you're doing it manually, you have to pay 24 hours in advance. So if your bill's due on Tuesday, you can't pay on Tuesday, you have to pay on Monday, and the money kind of just disappears for the night and then shows up on your credit card the next day.
Yeah, you won't see it. Like, if you post money and refresh, the money will be debited out of your savings account, but it won't show posted to the credit card.
HSBC takes a free loan.
Yeah, so it's a day. And, okay, so we kind of talked about it, but I have a point. So your point here is the points and the perks. You're saying the insurance one is something I'm going to look into because I'm in China.
Yeah, China Medical Assist, and that's for most of their cards, at least the Platinum business card, and I don't know the gold one. The Platinum one has it. I think the gold one also has it. And also their RMB card has it. And then there's a new one, which is a MasterCard World Express card.
Okay.
I think it also has it, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll link all these applications online. I think we're just going to focus on this on HSBC. You know, if others in the future get Standard Charter or others, they can let us know. But thanks, guys, for tuning in. And it's still actually, honestly, a little bit confusing, I think, for me. And Chris seems to, maybe with the payment, it's still not as easy as doing in the U.S. You know, the online is pretty nice, right? It is kind of nice for their online banking with HSBC, but it's still, like, I still kind of miss the online banking in America with credit cards, it would be like very clear, like, this is your statement date, this is the minimum amount, this is the interest rate. Like, it just doesn't seem as clear to me.
Yeah, probably on purpose.
Maybe on purpose. So, all right, guys. Thanks, Chris, and hope you guys enjoyed.
Yeah, right on.
Okay.
Hey, there's some downsides you might want to talk about too, man. Like, what pisses you off about using a Hong Kong credit card?
Well, I kind of talked about the 6%. Now I just kind of talked about the not so clear, like, ones here. We've been mostly talking about the positive. I think a couple of negatives we talked about was this, you know, the exchange rate loss. And another negative I think we talked about was kind of a little bit not so clear online banking and not so clear about when your statement date is due and how much and the interest rate. But, you know, Chris, maybe we can cover some of the negatives also that we've come across.
Yeah, you're if you travel a lot and you do a lot of business in lots of different places, sometimes your credit card is blocked.
Yeah.
And it's not instantaneous. You show up in a place, you'll do a couple of transactions, they'll block it without telling you that they blocked it, and then you have to, you know, you try to pay for whatever expense, and then your card doesn't work, and then you have to figure out, you know, the next step from there.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in China, I had a problem with using my Hong Kong credit card. They did take Visa, but then actually, that's something. My name on my credit card in Hong Kong is, like, retarded. Like, it's got my, like, middle name first, and then my, like, first name, and then my, like, last name.
They Chinese-ify your English name.
Yeah, so sometimes, actually, that is a problem I've had where they look at my name on my passport or my ID to the name on a credit card, and it doesn't totally match.
Your middle name becomes your first name, and your last name becomes your middle name, and your first name becomes your first name? I don't know.
It's weird. It's totally retarded. Or sometimes they just put in the middle initial, like M.
Yeah.
M, and then, like, your middle name, and then your last name, and then M, and then your... So...
And that's not even consistent. Like, different cards will put a different name on in a different way through the same bank.
Yep. So yeah, this is some downsides. I guess it's also just a reality of international business, you know, where this show's not about doing business in America, right? So, you know, we're overseas and names and cultures are all different. So sometimes you get stuck in the middle of, like, them not... And it's not, a lot of times it's the merchant's decision to accept it, even if it goes through on their terminal.
Yeah.
I think it's their discretion if they want to take the risk, because the merchant could also lose the money if there's a fraud. So, but it could almost happen with the U.S. credit card too. But yeah, I've had that problem with my name on my card not matching my ID. And it seems like HSBC didn't care, because I think I told them about this.
Mm.
And they didn't seem to care about changing my card.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't seem to care. So, yeah, these are just some negatives. It does have that microchip also when you guys get it. I think all Hong Kong credit cards have a microchip inside of it that, at least in Hong Kong, I think it's pretty cool, because you don't need to sign. If you have the card in hand, you can put the chip in, and then it just prints a receipt, and then you think maybe you have to sign, but I think the chip is the signature.
So you could put a pen in if you elect to put a pen in for the microchip. In a lot of countries, you put the microchip in, it discharges it automatically without even asking you to put a pen in, depending on which system and where you are. Like in the UK, it does that for sure. And in Australia, it does that. In Australia, no one really cares. They just let you spend money and you sign it and you walk away. In the UK, they look at you like you just robbed them and they won't sell you stuff. So it's annoying there. So maybe a Hong Kong credit card isn't great to spend money in the UK on anything.
Yep. So
online purchases.
Yeah. So with online banking, do you use the HSBC like Verify thing, right?
It's not HSBC. That's Visa.
Oh, Visa.
Verified by Visa. But that's worldwide, I think, not just Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no. But I'm talking about the Apple App Store. If you want to be able to buy an app, they make you buy it from the Hong Kong store instead of from the U.S. store. And some apps are only available in the U.S. store, not the Hong Kong store.
Mm.
Or if you want to buy like a Kindle online and they see a Hong Kong address, they won't sell it to you. Or whatever, like electronic products and, you know, different stipulations in different countries for different forms of media.
Zip code.
Yeah.
Zip code. For those listeners not aware, the Hong Kong doesn't have a zip code. The whole region doesn't use zip code. So I usually put 50s.
Yeah, you can think you put anything you want to. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, a lot of times when you're buying online, you need a zip code. Or a lot of times this stupid thing needs to put a U.S. address only.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
for any U.S. companies out there, there's more people in the world than Americans. So if you want like a lot more customers, let people put a different country for their billing address than America. Or don't make them put a country or, you know, like a state. I actually put put Alabama as my state that I went through actually just a couple of days
ago. Hong Kong, Mississippi, 0000.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think things keep getting more and more like global and easier, but it still seems not totally clear with credit cards in Hong Kong or maybe overseas. But hopefully this episode helped you guys, and thanks, Chris, for sharing. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for that, Chris. So I hope you guys didn't fall asleep on that. I don't think it was so boring. But, you know, I think some of these shows will be a little bit numbers and nitty-gritty and interest rates and, you know, like cash flow and accounting, which I think a lot of people might be don't find the most fun part of a business. But you will have to deal with it, and knowing it's better than finding out later the hard way. So some of the questions that we talked about that I did the research on Hong Kong branch of HSBC was the, let's just go down the list. I also put these all in the show notes on episode 23, so you can just go to globalfromasia.com/episode 23, and in the notes I outline and link and put all the phone numbers there. So first is business lounges. So you can go to a lot of different business lounges, they say, in Hong Kong Airport, Singapore, and a few other airports, so you can kind of get the VIP treatment there. There's even a free dim sum restaurant on the 7th floor at the Airport World Trade Center. I'm going to check that out. You can also get reward points, and mine actually just expired. Doesn't like seem like as much as American credit cards, but you do get like a point for every 250 Hong Kong dollars you spend, and double that for outside of Hong Kong transactions, which you can get for cash or for some kind of like gifts that you gotta fill in, send out a fax form, which is a little bit troublesome. There's also the health check, like Chris mentioned to me. You can get some health check plans, 12% off of silver and gold plans for men and women provided by Quality Health Medical Services. I'm gonna check that out more detailed soon, or maybe I'll keep you posted on future episodes. There's also travel insurance, and there's also the waiving of the fee. So I think Chris also mentioned, if you just call in, you get the annual fee waived. So I looked at my statement and I got charged 980 Hong Kong dollars about a month and a half ago, which is about 125 US dollars or a little bit more. And so when I talked to customer service, they gave me a phone number and I call in and they will just waive it. So I'm going to do that later. It's actually after hours, banking hours in Hong Kong time. It isn't a toll free. It is a number you have to call in Hong Kong with the 852 country code. But I guess anybody with online phone call systems can call a Hong Kong from anywhere in the world. So I hope these all helped out. I hope this is a valuable podcast, and you know, feedback and people getting some benefit out of this really helps motivate me and Chris and everybody on the previous shows. So we are working on some interesting interviews and some fun stuff coming up. So see you guys next week. Thanks.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.